Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. And we'll focus particularly on verse 43. Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we live in such a time of uncertainty. World peace, economy, jobs for younger people, all these things are happening around us, and even closer to home. You want to go to the next slide? We have all sorts of uncertainty there too. People who struggle with so much difficulty in their life, relational, psychological, so many different ways. It makes you wonder, where is everything going? And you worry about it, and you begin to doubt about things. And for example, what happens when someone loves Jesus, but they can't beat their addiction? They can't get past it, they can't get over it, and they die of an overdose. What happens to them? What about people who are so conflicted and have so lost hope in ever getting anywhere that they take their own life? Is there hope yet for them? How about people who act out and lash out because they just can't help it? What happens to those people? Well, I have good news this morning. The good news is this: there is one and only one salvation issue, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If you have just a shred of faith in Jesus, despite all your inability to obey him fully, it is enough. Can you go to the next slide? Let's see if you can find that one, or else I'll have to look it up. Oh, it's there. It's not on that one. All right, this is what the Apostle Paul says. If we die, it's an important one. Just take a moment. Oh. We have the gremlins out this morning. There we go. All right. So basically what Paul is saying, if we are faithless, remember in the case of someone who dies in an addiction, someone who takes their own life, is there hope for them? This is what Jesus says, or Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Jesus is the kind of Savior who, once you attach yourself to him, will never let you go. He is the good shepherd who will find the wandering sheep wherever they are. And when they seem out of reach for us, they are never out of reach for our good shepherd. Brothers and sisters, that's the heart of the passage that we are looking at this morning. This criminal on the cross, just look at him. Neither one of these two criminals can save themselves, right? But the one is taken and the other is left. And you got to say why. Verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. You want to go to the next slide? Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourselves and us. He's mocking Jesus. He's saying, oh, yeah, sure, you are going to save us. You are the Messiah. You're going to do this, right? Baloney, he's saying. But he just wants Jesus to take them all off the cross and not take what he has coming to him. He just wants the short, easy route, if he could even do it, and he doesn't believe a word of it. But look at the other one. The next slide. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. You see, he confesses. He confesses his own guilt and Jesus' innocence. For the rest, this dude can't do anything to save himself. He's hanging on a cross. He's going to be dead in a little while. And by his own words, he admits that he deserves what he's getting. But he has faith in Jesus. And that is the one salvation issue. Oh, he's ready to take his well-deserved medicine. We don't know exactly what this guy did, but it was very not pretty. He was probably an insurrectionist. He probably slaughtered people. We don't know what he did, but even though he can do absolutely nothing, he can confess Jesus, and that simple confession is enough. It will serve. Let's go to the next slide. The criminal says, turns to Jesus, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And this is astounding to me, just astonishing, that he looks to Jesus, a guy who is being humiliated, hanging naked on a cross, who's just this short of death, in agony, writhing in agony, and he says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Now that's faith, isn't it? This is a king, but he is the king, and this man recognizes it. And even though he's willing to take the deserved medicine that he is getting, he's going to have to live out his sentence and die out his sentence. He makes this incredible claim about who Jesus is. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And brothers and sisters, today, that's what faith still needs to be: persistent, strong, in the face of all this uncertainty. All the big powers and bullies in the world are showing their power and their strength, picking on other countries, doing whatever it takes in order to make themselves big and magnify themselves. And we sit here and we confess that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, show me on the news where that is the case. Well, brothers and sisters, it is the case. All appearances to the contrary, it is Jesus, the risen Lord, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, bringing his kingdom into this world. And boy, does that take some faith, doesn't it? Just like for this criminal on the cross, it took an incredible amount of faith to turn to Jesus and to say, you are the King. Really. But it's true. The Holy Spirit works in his heart this saving faith. We don't know how he knew who Jesus was. We have no clue about who this guy was and how he came to faith. All we know is that when he died on the cross and couldn't do a single thing to save himself, he turned to Jesus, to the only one who can save any of us, and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just astounding. Then look at Jesus' response. You want to go to the next slide? Jesus answered. Oh, there you go. Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, if you happen to know a little bit of Greek, then you know that this statement of Jesus is a bit ambiguous. It's ambiguous because where does the today go? See, there are those who will translate this and say, Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So, truly I tell you, right now I'm telling you that someday in the far future you're going to be with me in paradise. Right? That's one way you could look at it. The other way you could translate this is, Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And if you look at the Greek carefully, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's not saying, "I'm telling you today." He's saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise." This is how eager Jesus is to take this wretched man, who truly is a wretch because of what he did in his life and by his own admission, and he is taking this guy who can't do a single thing for him or for the kingdom of God other than to sit there and die, and he says to him, he is so eager to take this wandering sheep back into the fold, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So what exactly is paradise like? Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. And you don't either. And the Bible doesn't explain it, and it doesn't have to, because it really, brothers and sisters, doesn't matter. Where did this criminal go with Jesus? Where did he go that day? What does the place look like? Is the soul drifting in some kind of beautiful Garden of Eden again? We don't know. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. Because paradise is not, first of all, a matter of what. It's a matter of who. It's a matter of who. Where are the souls of Jesus and this criminal going that very day? I'm going to go to the next slide. Jesus called out with a loud voice, just a little bit later, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." By the way, when we said the creed today, you know, we said that Jesus descended into hell. In the Greek, that is not the place that you think of when you think of hell, the place of eternal punishment. The hell there in the Greek is the word Hades, which simply means the land of the dead. Jesus' body went into the grave. That's all that means. And it's important for you to know that in confessing that Apostles' Creed. So people say, "Why don't you change that then?" Well, you can't change it because the creed is shared by all Christians all over the world. I mean, who's going to do that, right? But you need to know that. Where did Jesus go when he died on the cross? Look at this. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And who joined him to go to be with the Father? This crook, this criminal, this murderer went with Jesus, because paradise isn't, first of all, a what, it's a who. Would you go to the next slide? I have sat at many deathbeds, and it's always been a privilege. I have always gone there to bring comfort, but I always receive more comfort from those who are dying. Because what they care about is not exactly what it's going to be like in the next few minutes or hours. What really matters to them is who is there across that Jordan River, who is there to receive them, to know that they are in the eternal arms, the everlasting arms, and that they are in the arms of their Heavenly Father. That's what matters. That they are going to see Jesus, that's what matters. It's the what, not the who. There's a theologian who tells a story about this. He says he had a friend of his whose wife was behind the Iron Curtain in Russia, was not allowed to come to the West, and he escaped and didn't see his wife for 20 years. And after 20 years, he gets a message that finally she's been given an exit visa, and he can meet her in the train station in Frankfurt, Germany. And this theologian says that when he heard the news, he was really excited. And you know what? He asked all sorts of questions, but one question he never asked is, what does the train station in Frankfurt look like? Right? He didn't care. His wife is going to be there. That's what mattered. What is it going to be like when we go across that Jordan River? Is it going to be soul sleep? Is it going to be that Jesus is with us in the grave? Is it that our souls go up into some paradise or Garden of Eden? We don't know. The Bible isn't clear on it. And it doesn't matter, because this is what matters. You are going to be in the hands, and your loved ones are in the hands of your good shepherd, safely in the fold. And that's truly what matters. You know, there was this old piety that we need to fight against. It's the old piety that says, I am such a bad sinner that I'm not sure that Jesus can take me into his everlasting arms. And that sounds so pious, right? So convinced of your own sinfulness. My dad was a preacher too. He attended one deathbed where he came back just thoroughly frustrated, because the person who was dying, she was an elderly woman, and she said, I think about all my weaknesses, and so, that's what's on my mind. And my dad said, read scripture to her and said, don't you see that Jesus is saying he will never lose one of his sheep. He will never lose anyone. He read this about the murderer on the cross. And so he turned to her and he said, so, Corey, do you know you're going to be with Jesus? And she said, I hope so, Domine, Pastor. I hope so. And he was so frustrated, because that's a false piety. It's not the case. When Jesus says that you belong to him, believe him. When Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise, believe him. Believe your good shepherd. You want to go to the next slide, please? This is the first representation picture we have of Jesus. It's in a catacomb, so in one of the burial places for Christians underneath Rome. And it's dated as early as the year 150. And the picture we see there of Jesus, you see that? He's a shepherd. He's got the sheep on his shoulders, the wandering sheep. Who's going to get that wandering sheep? The reason they depicted him as a shepherd king was that David, remember King David? He was a shepherd king. And Jesus is the shepherd king, who is a king who lives in majesty. He will govern the entire world, but he remains a shepherd until the very end. And as we, in Lent, reflect on what Jesus did and does for us, it is so important for us to remember this, that Jesus, our shepherd king, will do anything to get his wandering sheep. Jesus says, I will lose none of the ones that God the Father has given me. And I find that just utterly amazing, that a person who is writhing in agony with the nails in his hands and his feet, beaten to with a pulp, a crown of thorns on his head to mock him and humiliate him. And this person is still a shepherd. He's still not looking at himself. Father, forgive them as they're driving in the nails, for they don't know what they're doing. That's how deeply Jesus is our shepherd. Father, forgive them. This day, you will be with me in paradise. He will go anywhere to get his wandering sheep. He will go anywhere, even to the cross, even to the grave, for you and for me. John tells us about the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And brothers and sisters, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you did or what you're going to do, you belong to him, and you will hear him say, today you will be with me in paradise.